This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Nā mai, haere mai, kia ora tanakwe, Free FM 89.0. I'm Bruce Scott, Mel Driscoll, and the rest of the hundreds of thousands this afternoon, on a Sunday afternoon. It is winter time. It is cold, but there's blue sky out there. What's on my mind? We'll tell you shortly. First of all, the weather forecast. Fine, apart from a chance of a morning shower, well, that has passed. Light winds. We'll try and update the weather forecast as that weather forecast was issued around 8:40 this morning, so it's a bit old. And tomorrow, we're in for cloudy periods with the odd shower from late morning. Westerlies developing in the morning, gusting for a time in the afternoon. Well, the sunset this evening at 5:08 p.m, sunrise tomorrow morning, 7:28 a.m. In the city, we're expecting a high today of 16 degrees, overnight low of 4 degrees at the present moment. So, and the city temperature, we're just bringing it up on the system here. What is the city temperature at the present moment? Just hold the fort, and we'll just get it up. And it is 17 degrees in the city at the present moment. Well, what is on my mind? The opinion is mine. Column comment. History, dates, stats on June 7. New Zealand Hit Parade, June 7, 1976. World politics, Gary Schofield, Wayne Porter, shipping movements, etc. And Trevor Lloyd with Trevor's Talk. 1-5-8-2-0-7-2-GO. Our machine doesn't want to work, so we'll do it this way. Well, there's a couple of rules in the road code that amazes me that they haven't been fixed up. You can ride a bicycle on the footpaths and on the road. You're allowed to ride your bicycle on the road. Another thing that hasn't been changed is you can ride one of those e-scooters on the road and the footpath. But in Hamilton, we've got some very dangerous people who ride around the town on these e-scooters and bicycles. I nearly got wiped out again by a rogue e-scooter ridden by two people as I was heading to have my teeth checked by my hygienist this week. A week before, I nearly got wiped out by stupid people on bicycles outside the warehouse as I was going into the store. What they were doing, they're on bicycles, and they were doing They were only on the back wheel. They pulled up the front wheel of the bicycle and started riding around. One of the idiots started to apologise to me, but hey, that's wrong. And sadly, security in the city on this hasn't been changed for a while. I think we need to revisit these rules and get these scooters off the road. Because a lot of these scooters at night, people have dark clothing on, there's no lights, there's no headgear, etc., etc. These e-scooters should not be on the road at night. They are just too dangerous. And some of those idiots on them are too dangerous. And we need to enforce laws on these people doing their wheel stands with only the back wheel of the bike. They're just trying to show off, as any young kid does. But it's too dangerous for people, the elderly, who are walking along the footpaths legally. They are legal. But the rules need to be changed. Are you listening, Hamilton City Council? I'm going to see if I can find a council this week and get it looked into. It Thursday, 158207 to go, June 7, 2026. 1940 this day, New Zealand-born RAF pilot Edgar Cobber-Kane dies during low-level aerobatics, killed instantly.
Was standing by my window yesterday morning, without a thought of worry or of care, when I saw the postman coming down the pathway with such a happy face and jaunty air.
It was this day in 1329, the hero of Bannockburn, Robert the Bruce, dies.
My heart was broken. My heart was broken. Sorrow, 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 sorrow.
This day in 1927, singer-actor Dean Martin born. 85 movies, TV shows, The Rat Pack. Martin died Christmas Day, 1995.
Let's fly way up to the clouds, away from the maddening crowds. We can sing in the glow of a star that I know of, where lovers enjoy peace of mind. Let us leave the confusion and all disillusion behind. Just like birds of a feather or rainbow together we'll find.
This day in 1939, George VI and the Queen Elizabeth visit the USA, the first ever visit. This day in 2015, the horror actor Christopher Lee dies.
We had a ooh horror party. We had a ooh horror party. Everybody had screaming ball. Last night at your hall.
Get your thing.
As this day in 1958, singer-songwriter, actor Prince was born. He died in 2026. And it was this day in 1940 that singer, songwriter and TV host Tom Jones was born in Wales, Potty Prid, I think. He today is 85. So let's take him through his biggest hit from 1966-67. It goes... It goes something like this.
And there to meet me. The old hometown looks the same as I step down from the train, and there to meet me is my mama and papa. Down the road I look and there runs Mary, hair of gold and lips like cherries. It's good to touch the green, green grass of home. Yes, they'll all come to meet me, arms reaching, smiling sweetly. It's good to touch the green, green grass of home. The old house is still standing, though the paint is cracked and dry. And there's that old oak tree that I used to play on. Down the lane I walk with my sweet Mary, hair of gold and lips like cherries. It's good to touch the green, green grass of home. And look around me at four gray walls that surround me, and I realize, yes, I was only dreaming. For there's a God and there's a sad old portrait. On and on we'll walk at daybreak. Again, I'll touch the green, green grass of home. Yes, they'll all come to see me in the shade of that old oak tree as they lay me neath the green, green grass of home.
Tom Jones at 8 minutes to one, the green, green grass of home from 1966-67, number one in the UK and around the world. New Zealand Hit Parade, chartorg.nz, History and Song, June 7, 1976. At Cobham Corp, Porirua, the first McDonald's opens. Big Macs cost 75 cents, 40 cents for cheeseburgers and 30 cents for, 40 cents for cheeseburgers at that time. And the doors opened at 10 a.m. and there was people queuing down the road, and the store closed in 2009. I've still got a couple of McDonald's in Porirua these days. And from 1976, here's Annie Whittle, When You Walk in the Room.
in love somehow. Something in your kiss just told me my sometime is now.
Everybody finds somebody someplace. There's no telling where love may appear. Something in my heart keeps saying my someplace is here. If I had it in my power, I'd arrange for every girl to have your charm. Then every minute, every hour, every boy would find what I found in your arms. Everybody loves somebody sometime. And although my dream was overdue, your love made it well worth waiting for someone like you.
If I had my power,
I would arrange for every girl to have your charm. Every boy would find what I found in your arms. Everybody loves somebody sometime. And although my dream was overdue, your love made it well worth waiting for someone.
King of Cool, the one and only, the late Dean Martin, and Everybody Loves Somebody. That was from 1964, big hit around the world. It's his birthday today. Well, it was his birthday today. He died Christmas Day, 1995, and you just got to look at some of the pictures before his death. He wasn't a very, very well man. He had fallen out with Frank Sinatra, etc., etc., part of the Rat Pack. We'll find another Dean Martin song before we go this afternoon. There's a whole heap of them. Good afternoon, Stephen King.
Good afternoon.
You were dancing along to Dean, Dino?
Oh, well, I'm of that era. I remember Dean Martin. He was very smooth. Yeah. He was a very smooth fellow.
Yeah, yeah. I just wonder that he didn't drink.
Didn't he?
No, because That liquid in
was
his...
Was he one of my clan, was he?
No, I just think he told everyone he was a drunk, but he was also a comedian with Jerry Lewis, of course.
Yes.
And it wasn't alcohol. It was some apple juice or something similar that he was drinking on his show. We'll find some more from Dean Martin, but seriously, let's get back to what we were talking about last week and drugs and cocaine and we've got the artificial cannabis and all the other drugs A to Z.
Yep.
And it's growing bigger.
Yep. And as per the article in yesterday's Waikato Weekend, we can't stop it. That let's start with the bad news, people. We can't stop it getting in. The international drug dealers are hooked into, are here, I'm told. So they have, they have relationships that are international relationships. The police and customs are working their tails off, doing their best to catch as much of it as they can.
Mm-hmm.
But as per the newspaper article says, they check the stuff that comes direct from Colombia.
Yeah.
But the operators are smooth now. They'll send it. They'll send it via other places that are not so. They are named to Spain. Haiti, even Ireland was named. And, of course, those stuff coming into New Zealand from those places are not as scrutinised. Yep.
Do you think the New Zealand police have lost, well, they've lost, they haven't got enough men to check it all out, and women, of course. Is it time to bring in experts from overseas, take it out, take it off the hands of the police and put it into experts who...
Who are these experts?
Well, these international police organisations around the world, there's plenty of them. Take it out of the hands of the New Zealand police because they haven't got the resources. And
that would be a big stuff. I like your enthusiasm for trying to address the problem.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, they're no smarter overseas than what they are here.
Yeah.
These people are in the business of selling a product which has a good margin of profit, and the greater the margin of profit, the more attractive it becomes. They've tried everything overseas. We've tried decriminalisation. In the end, it just created more addicts.
Yeah, because you remember what happened to one of the stars of Friends, Matthew Perry. He died.
Yes, overdose of ketamine, and that's here, I believe, now.
Yep.
Not over the top, because you see these suppliers of drugs, they're smart business people too. There's no use flooding the market, because then it becomes even more obvious.
Yeah, well, of course, drugs have been around Hollywood the first movies. Going back to the sign of movies.
You weren't at Woodstock with me in 69, were you?
No, but I know the stories about how many deaths there were, how many people were on drugs, how many people died running around on the mud and the other stuff.
Well, let's get down to the bottom of it. People like me use drugs, and it's well studied, as a form of escape.
Yes.
From their reality, temporary as it may be, because when they come down, they've got to cope with the same situation. We talk about the work that I'm involved in. People only change when they choose to change, and we are but facilitators of their process of making some choices and decisions to explore that option.
Yep. Do you think there may be drugs in schools now?
There's drugs in schools.
And watching... I watched a prison program on one of the worst prisons in Scotland. It houses all the bad youths, and drugs will rife in that place. And
well, we got drugs in our prison. There was another article the other week. Yeah. There's been several guys saying where there's money to be made, the human being some will break the rules for gain.
How do you take away the gang control of the prisons? Because that's part of the problem too.
Well, I wish I had the answers to some of these questions. You manage it as best you can with the people that you've got.
Well, overseas, of course, in places in Asia, if you're found with drugs, you're... So
some places, Philippines is often referenced. Yeah. You get caught with drugs. The Philippines, they shoot you or they hang you. One of the two.
And of course, that happened to it was going to happen to a couple of New Zealanders. You know who I'm talking about. Lorraine, what's her name?
Yeah, I can't remember.
And her son Aaron, but he got the birch instead. So Cohen, that's the name. That's Mr. Asia. One man lost his head and his hands. They found them in parts. It's a very serious business.
Yeah. Well, I'd like to do my best to give your listeners something. And I was thinking about it on the way here. So the bad news is there's no immediate resolution to this problem. We have to manage it with the resources that we have, and I know that the government's trying to do that as best they can with the justice policy.
What department do you put all these problems in? You've got the police, you've got the health service.
Well, you've got wraparound health services, because you see, it's actually not about the drugs. That's just the symptom of the problem of people learning how to live life on life's terms. And that's what we discover when people, the likes of me, get to rehab.
Yes.
The only thing about the drugs is relapse prevention.
Yeah.
The rest of it, the other 85% of it, is about what Steve needs to do to live a responsible, productive member of society, and that's what rehab's all about. So the word reformed, I don't really like, rehabilitated. People then start to experience, as they're honest with the community and society, that they're a recovering addict and that they're moving on in their lives.
Yeah.
Our community gives them another chance, which is a great thing, because some of them then experience, being forgiven for past and responsible for moving forward, and feel their self-worth goes up.
Well, as you know, the experts are brought in, a report is written, the report goes to various ministers, goes through the system, and then have you ever read some of these reports?
No, I'm not a great reader. I suffer from dyslexia. That's why I talk so much, because all my gathering information, a lot of it is secondhand from my academic mates.
Yep. And talking about academia, probably there's a bit of drug taking at the university.
It's good to study the facts. I see Kurt Wilkins in the paper yesterday talking about the situation.
You've got to keep talking about it. That's the main thing.
I think we need to keep talking about it. We need to talk more. And here, wait for it. We need more health orientated resources to support people to make the choice of those changes. Now that in hand with them that are choosing not to be and are a danger to themselves and the rest of the community, then prison is, I guess, the answer.
Well, of course, it's life imprisonment for doing lots of drugs, like the Class A drugs, et cetera, et cetera. They're done through the High Court, of course, as you know. And
well, they don't get quite that serious. But you've got these gang guys that are also shrewd businessmen these days, and they are absolutely slaying it in terms of money making and buying properties and all sorts of things.
Money laundering, and of course...
Yeah, well, you see that.
And of course, they get their lawyers involved, and the lawyers are then charged with money laundering.
God, you've been reading the papers, mate.
Well, you look at some of the gangs that have come back from Australia. They buy themselves the Comancheros. They had Rolls Royces. They had all the fancy chains, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, that's right.
And do you blame Australia for letting...
But you've got to prove the point, you see. That guy that was recently, he had all millions and millions of dollars of resources taken off him, but they couldn't hook him up to the drug dealing.
Mm.
He was that anonymous that his name was not, so they couldn't charge him with that. So
I'd love to have, many years ago, it's a few years now, we all gathered at the atrium and Judge Philip Connell was there, etc.
Yeah,
and other judges.
Yep.
Yeah, we need another meeting like that, so people in like you and me could meet again with some of the judges and have a conference about this. This is we've got to talk about it.
We've got to talk about it, but we must be reasonable in our expectations of what we can achieve. So we're going after the big guys, and that's where the focus is, because there's no use running around busting every user in town.
Yep.
Go for the big supply guys, and that's what this government's doing.
We don't want policemen in the city running around with guns and rifles, etc.
No, thank you. Not really. Thank you very much.
Final point, Stephen. You said you went to Woodstock. How many days did you do with Woodstock?
No, I didn't go to Woodstock. I was only 16 at the time.
Can you imagine
a 16-year-old young fellow like me? Everything was new. All the music was moved on from Dean Martin. All the music was new. Rock music arrived and Free Love and, oh, goodness me.
One of the bands at Woodstock was the Creedence Clearwater Revival, and this is one of their big hits. Looking out my back door, Stephen King, we may talk next week.
Yes, you may indeed.
It's bye-bye.
Thank you.
Talk.
Clearwater Revival, and they were at Woodstock along with Joe Cocker and others, and looking out my back door. It is also the birthday today of the one and only Tom Jones. He's 85 today, and he's on The Voice. He looks good for 85. This is another one of his biggest hits, The Man from Wales, at 13 past 1 o'clock.
Love is like candy on a shelf. You want to taste and help yourself. The sweetest things are there for you. Help yourself, take a few. That's what I want you to do. We're always told repeatedly, the very best in life is free. And if you want to prove it's true, baby, I'm telling you, this is what you should do. Just help yourself to my lips, to my arms. Just say the word and they are yours. Just help yourself to the love in my heart. Your smile has opened up the door. The greatest wealth that exists in the world could never buy what I can give. Just help yourself to my lips, to my arms, and then let's really start to live. All right. Yeah. My heart has love enough for two, more than enough for me and you. I'm rich with love, a millionaire. I've so much, it's unfair. Why don't you take a share? Just help yourself to my lips, to my arms. Just say the word. Just help yourself to the love in my heart. Your smile has opened up the door. The greatest wealth that exists in the world could never buy what I can give. So help yourself to my lips, to my arms, and then let's really start to live. Just help yourself.
Yeah, there we are, 85 today. Tom Jones and Help Yourself. It is just on 16 past 1 o'clock. This is Cosmopolitan News and Views, Duane and Mill.
Some things are quickly gone and forgotten, but not by all. All it takes are like-minded people retaining memories with keepsakes. It may be in the form of photographs. Others prefer the real thing in its original form. But it comes with a problem of how to house it and the funding for restoration. John Osborne's one who knows a lot about this. John, we'd like the benefit of knowing what is the thing that is so deserving of protection.
Well, I've been involved many years ago with getting one of the original Auckland Bendy buses preserved initially, and unfortunately, well, things changed, and the circumstances regarding its storage and preservation has changed as well.
So, this is a problem.
Yeah, well, these buses were of interest to Auckland specifically. They were the first fleet of their kind in the country. And back in 2014, I was involved with forming a little steering group to try and save one, because MOTAT were not very interested. Museum of Transport and Technology were not very interested at all. In fact, they rejected the offer of one of these original Bendy buses. So I had about 5 days to organise something along with the late Peter Fairgray, who was a mechanic based here in Hamilton, and David Marsden, and we formed a little working group, and we managed to save this bus by the skin of our teeth. But, you know, and things have changed. It's sort of, Peter passed away in late 2017, and the bus was transferred over to Dave's sort of care. But things have changed at his end, and it had to be moved on. So it's been given to the Auckland Regional Authority Heritage Bus Society, but they are sort of in need of some support to try and get it to be able to move it and to get it running again. So this is one of the original Auckland Bendy buses. This is from 1983.
Listening,
220 articulated Bendy bus.
Someone of our listeners might say, "What's a Bendy bus?"
Yeah, well, it's sort of a name that these buses have. The proper term is that they're an articulated bus. They're sort of like got a bus, but they're an extended bus with a trailer on the end. With so they're an extended bus with a flexible part in the middle, you see, and universally known as Bendy buses.
And why were they phased out and not replaced with more modern Bendy buses?
Well, first off, the type of bus that we're talking about was the 1983 model. There was also a 1990 model that was brought out. So there were actually two types of Bendy buses that operated in Auckland over the years. These buses were originally purchased by the Auckland Regional Authority, and that was a public benefit organisation that ran public, you know, beneficial services, regional planning services, and that sort of thing. Look, at the end of the day, in the modern day environment, is a privatised nightmare. I don't really, to be fair, I'm not too sure why they got rid of Bendy buses at all, because you'd think, logically, you'd think that as a growing region, as a growing area, they would actually go towards Bendy buses, because a growing population would necessitate growing sort of capacity on your public transport vehicles, and sort of your articulated buses would be the right way to go. But for some reason they haven't done that, and in their you know, obviously you've got to remember that it's not the same as it was 30 years ago, and the way that things are now, you've got a bureaucracy called Auckland Transport, and you've got private operators that get paid a lot of money to run services. So, but in their infinite wisdom, these organisations have decided that they don't want them. But that's all fine. What I would like to say, though, is that when we went out to save the Bendy bus originally, New Zealand Bus did come to the party and helped us out a wee bit. So New Zealand Bus Limited, Anthony Urban and others that were there at the time, a big thanks to that. We sort of worked very hard. I mean, It was a real hard, because at the time, you see, as I said, Motorhead didn't want to know about it, and we were all, you know, those of us who wanted to save this bendy bus, which is number 2009, were ridiculed. So, you know, we sort of had a small window of opportunity. So we sort of, we managed to get it done, managed to get it saved, and, you know, initially preserved, and that, so that was good. There was a hard battle, thanks to the Auckland Civic Trust as well, who helped us. But, you know, as I said, things have changed now for this bus because, you know, the group, when Peter Fairgrave died, the group sort of dissolved and the bus ended up in Dave's hands. And things, you know, his company's moving onwards and all that, and things have sort of changed. So the ARA Heritage Society, who have a very good website, and a good bunch of people, they preserve old buses, and they've been given this bendy bus, but they need help with sort of... raising funds to sort of provide for transportation, storage, and also they've got to get it going. So they've got a replacement motor, but it's got to be fitted. So all these little things have to be done. But, you know, just to bear in mind, these bendy buses, this particular number, 2009, they were the first of their kind in the country. So for its time, Auckland held this unique to the position where it had the only bendy bus fleet in the entire country. So they're kind of unique for their time and sort of icons. It was the only operation in the entire country that had these sort of buses, so they were, you know, in a way unique. So there are many people out there in the Waikato would remember these. In fact, you know, some of them may have even worked on them. And I earnestly encourage those that are interested to look up the Auckland Regional Authority Heritage Bus Society. It's called ARA Heritage Buses Incorporated, and support them in this work, if they can, any way possible. And it's not just the bendy bus that the ARA Heritage Buses have. They've also got the original, very first original Auckland Mercedes bus that came out. They were landmark developments in the history of passenger transport. The most modern buses in the country, and they came out, they were flash, had all the whistles and bells. So they got one of those, and they got other types there, plus one of the later bendy buses as well. So go forward and sort of check them out. They're a good organisation, and if anyone wants to help, they'd be much appreciated.
Well, thank you, John, for that rundown on the efforts that continue to preserve this element of our history.
Thank you, Melbourne. Thank you, Bruce. Thank you, Dwayne.
It is 23. Oh, John doesn't sound too wonderful this afternoon. Anyway, guys, we've been talking about the birthday of Sir Tom Jones today. Back in the 60s, someone wrote a song for him called I'll Never Fall in Love Again. It was written by the one and only Lonnie Donegan. And as you know, Tom Jones has been on The Voice. It's a talent show in the UK. Well, Tom Jones didn't know this about Peter Donegan until he found out. But then something special happened.
Careful, Ollie.
Ollie.
Don't break it.
All right, here we go.
I've been in love so many times. Thought I knew the score. But now you've treated me so wrong. I can't take anymore. And it looks like I'm never gonna fall in love again. Fall in love. I'm never gonna fall in love.
His arms
baby. I just broke down and cried.
That is Tom Jones and Peter Donegan, son of the late Lonnie, the Skiffle King, and I'll Never Fall in Love Again. It's 21 after 1 at Free FM, 89.0. It is Sunday afternoon, but cold outside. If you're going out tonight on the town, go to a restaurant tonight, just take a woolly hat or a scarf or wrap up pretty warm, yes. And hope your day is going very well. Well, this week in America, of course, it has been a week that has seen the media under fire from the left-wing media, actually, under fire from Trump's administration. There is a screenshot I saw earlier today and yesterday of the White House. They are planning to take out some of the left-wing media, and we'll talk about that very, very shortly. And right at this time, well, we're talking to Gary Schofield.
New Zealand Defence Force makes its mark in more ways than one by contributions to democracy that go far beyond mere funding, but extend its outreach in action. Gary Schofield moves in international ways that give him the insight into questions like this. Do you think that the point has been made fairly or not? That New Zealand...
I think that the point that was made, your point is an excellent point. If you wind a few days ago back, you'll find Hicks says actually labeling us as freeloaders. So that is very serious. The relationship with the United States is extremely important. The military relationship is very important. It's very important that we are not perceived in any way as freeloaders. And I'd just like to point out, yes, our contributions not only to democracy, our contributions to peacekeeping, our contributions and the shedding of our blood and treasure, we're in multiple wars, you know, dating back Gallipoli, we were in World War I before the United States. We were one of the first countries to actually have forces on the ground in the Korean War. We were there in Vietnam. We've been a stable ally. I would like to point out to our Kiwis that we used to have ANZUS. We used to have CETO, Southeast Asia Treaty Organization. We used to have all these wonderful alliances, and now we only have Australia. As wonderful as it is to have Australia, these are dangerous times. And it's very important that we are seen for our geopolitical importance. We're seen for our geography. We're in the Pacific. We have harbors. We have our situation is vital to the Western future of democracy. And our situation is vital also when it comes to relations between countries, our rocketry, our technology. We've been deemed by the NTIB, this is Congress, that we are vital in any conflict. So I would think that we should at least, our man Chris Pink, who's our defense chief, should be pointing out in the nicest possible diplomatic ways the ways in which we contribute far more than our GDP would allow us to. And I just, you know, I spent my years in D.C., you can't compete with countries, even like with Pakistan. They can outbuy any defense contract, and I know that we've spent $1 billion here, nearly $3 billion on these new helicopters, but really, it is our relationship and the people of New Zealand that make that alliance formed.
Yep.
And paid for already. So I just have to point out that one.
Gary Schofield, good afternoon. How are we?
Oh, we're very good, and I'm sorry that Mel wasn't the best last week, and I wasn't the best either. So good to be back on my feet.
You're just talking about defence, and this week Pete Hesketh came and told us, well, he told the world that New Zealand were freeloaders. Do you think New Zealand were freeloaders?
Well, this is why I brought up all those aspects. It can't be just a GDP view. Hmm. And by the way, while we're on the topic of that, New Zealand used to have the highest GDP in the world per capita, bar only the United States. So the second highest in the world, our GDP, in 1966-67. Look this up. You'll see that we have fallen. Our economic might is not the way to value us. There are so many other factors, and apart from their relationship and the sacrifice, we have been forefront for also not only in war fighting but peacekeeping. So these are important things to judge us and not to forget, and not for our diplomats to forget to present this.
Isn't it such a cruel fate for us to be seen as friendless on the world scene? Not that we are, but you made the point that there's ANZUS still, but in other respects we've sort of lost our activity that used to focus on the diplomatic relations between, especially...
I believe that we've lost our way in that regard, and yes, quoting from those treaties that we did have and have lost and are no longer with us, it was good enough for us to belong to them for our security then. I would say we're in a far less secure world today than those days when we had those alliances. And, you know, let's be realistic about this. So we've got Australia to defend us as our alliance, but, you know, these submarines and AUKUS, they won't be ready for 20 years. We've bought some helicopters. They might be here in 2030. You know, there's an immediate issue, and I think that we need to have our diplomats working on that for the security of everybody, not just New Zealand. You know, we are very much involved in the future of the Pacific, the Asia-Pacific. That's our sphere. All of this distraction that has taken us away from where we are and put us in the Middle East, this is not where we need to be.
Well, from that to the media, as I said, and this week and yesterday I saw the screenshot of a White House email. It was on the White House website that the White House is planning to take down left-wing media. They've already got rid of Stephen Colbert, but they're after Brian Tyler Cowen. They're after others. And, excuse me, just had a big cough there. So, yeah, and it seems a breach of the First Amendment.
Very important amendment. Very important to have free press. Very important to have dispassionate press. I think we are all longing for those days when you listen to a journalist, it was exceptionally high standard, and the effort went into not to be a partisan, not to be political. So, yes, and that fund, it's called the slush fund that you'll be aware of, in the promotion of non-weaponized media, non-weaponized systems, all of this is tied up with the plan to, from the Trump point of view, to right the wrongs, or from the First Amendment point of view, a dangerous encroachment into what could be access to information. But this is ironical in an era that we're now in, where you can't trust the information you get from any source, just about.
In America, there are two journalists. One is Lawrence O'Connell, who I see very, very much. He's of NBC, of course. He's been around a long time as Lawrence O'Donnell. But there's also Scott Petty.
Are you talking about the CBS drama?
60 Minutes.
As well?
He got the sack. Because he stood up to some guy who's got no journalist experience, and he's down the road now.
Well, it said, to appease the Trump administration is the call. But again, everything is partisan. It shouldn't be like this. We used to make an effort as journalists to state the story dispassionately. The opinion belongs with the viewer, not with you, the journalist.
And, of course, you mention every once in a while your friend, the late Connie Lorne, And yes. And we can't forget the late Barbara Walters too. So
absolutely true. And Connie absolutely loved New Zealand, I tell you that.
And of course she had a racehorse named after her too. So
yes. Absolutely wonderful. And by the way, if you don't mind, I'd just like to announce that I'm just for New Zealand, I'm working on the 100th commemoration of the Southall Chapel, which for me is the most beautiful chapel in the world, I think, and doing that painting and presentation for its 100th for that school. I'm very much enjoying doing that.
Which school is this?
Southall School in Hamilton, so it's local, and I was a Southall boy all those years ago, and I had a big effect on my life, and I'm glad to return that with this commission.
I had a couple of cousins go to that school many years ago, and of course their famous work was the bricks that the boys had to do. Did you do a brick?
The bricks came a long time before my time, and we are talking with the bricks because the little boys were instrumental in actually physically making the bricks and creating that chapel.
And
so that's really quite an extraordinary story in itself.
And did you?
But that's 100 years ago.
And did you have to get dressed up as a young woman doing their school productions? Because that's what happened.
Yes, I did. Oh, I see we're going into a very personal from international news. Yes, in those days, we were all boys, and very much like Kabuki theater, very much like the fact when there are no women or no girls, yes, we took the role of the girls too, and what a beautiful lot of girls we were.
And of course, did you get the strap?
Yes, physical, yes. corporal punishment in those days, we're talking about a different era. A lot of people may be horrified, but yes, it was. I felt a little more sorry for those boarders. You know, when you're a very, because they're all young. You know, some are like 10 years old. Very young kids, away from their parents in a boarding environment. It can be stressful, especially if you can be punished physically. So I'm very sympathetic for those kids.
I've been watching a documentary this week on Gordon Stoon in Scotland, who was it was the work of Kurt Hahn, who left Nazi Germany and he established Gordon Stoon, the school that Prince Charles went to, and it's tough. Hey Gary, give my best.
Bear the rod, spoil the child, they said to us in those days. And just very quickly, I'm actually being invited to attend the conference in the Dupuy Institute of Military Research, which will include the invasion of Taiwan in Washington, D.C. in October.
Yep.
So I'll be happy to report on that when I come back.
And I hope you catch up with Stuart over there while you're over
there. Oh, I will be, yes.
Okay, mate.
Yes, indeed.
We'll speak next week.
Look forward to that.
It's a pleasure.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. There we are. Is your child at boarding school these days? Maybe there's people out there who've got long memories. This is Free FM 89.0.
teach us, get gone, man. You're a loser, you're beat, yes, your end's near. Cause the US of A will not let you have things your way. You bomb and steal and say, my USA, you're dumb, must have your way. Lie every day. You want everything, you don't understand joy. You're a toddler.
Yes, one of the many Donald Trump parodies to YMCA. It's called Con Man, and he's been proved that he is a con man. But moving on from Donald Trump, we have got the boys to talk about ships and traffic.
And the ports of Tauranga. The court has made an order that's against some of the litigants in an environment court hearing, and it recognises there's been wasted effort preparing and presenting cultural evidence of the company, which the company should have addressed from the outset. So what the court is indicating there, Duane, is that a lot of work is expected to go in before plans are laid for changes affecting the port's interests.
Of course it is.
And in the case of Tauranga, it seems there's a lot of bitterness that remains.
Yep, it is a lot of business, even though that, you know, you look at it as that the iwi, the port want to go 9 metres out to build on one side and then 8 metres on the other side to build to make that port a bit bigger, because there's only 3 boats can sit in that berth. Don't want them to have more than 3 boats sitting in that berth to get loaded out of Tauranga.
And we're talking quite big funding here, are we?
Yep, it's going to be a lot of funding that belongs to the iwi and the tainui as well, so they're all going to sit down at the table and negotiate what's going to go on.
It seems there's a call for the ports to handle more freight than they currently do. And that's going on work in Tauranga as well as in Auckland.
Tauranga, Auckland, Wellington, Lyttelton, and also Napier and Gisborne.
Have you got information on what they're doing at some of those places?
Well, they're just building an extension on Port of Auckland.
As well, if the other ports were overlooked.
Yeah, the other ports are being overlooked right now. And the problem is that Lyttelton and New Plymouth are going to extend those ones as well, because there's more ships are coming in, there's more containers are coming in. Also, that you look at it is that the Ruakura site is getting full of containers and freight, which is coming from Tauranga to Hamilton, and then it's going from Hamilton, Tauranga to Auckland, and then straight on the boat.
Well, remember, Duane, Auckland is not only one port. It's got multi-wharves, like from Princess to Freiburg, Chelsea, etc. So you've got to think that freight is increasing coming into this country.
Well, it is increasing, and there's got to be more anyway. You know, there's got to be more freight coming in straight away.
Aren't you concerned that the influence of events in the Persian Gulf might affect the activity in our ports?
Well, I am actually, but you know, you got to look at it as that, you know, petrol. Look at the fuel.
Petrol.
There's 5 fuel boats arriving in next week.
So you don't see a shortage imminently?
No, and there's already 2 in already.
Mm-hmm.
And there's like another petrol boat's going to Timaru, because Timaru's run out of petrol.
Okay. In town this week, we all saw the photograph in the press.
Yep.
A tow truck.
Yep.
It was caught parking in a mobility parked car park. Your thoughts?
Well, I agree with the tow truck driver because, you know, as you say, I work for a towing company. We've got rights to sit there and to do a clearway, waiting at 4:30 to do a clearway, 4 o'clock to do a clearway, 4:30 to do a clearway, and he was sitting in that street and he's got a disability pay thing on his dashboard, okay, because his driver got injured.
Yeah.
And that's why he's got one of those disability things.
I understand that. And we've had other incidents around town outside Kmart of people parking and people getting upset and having to cry foul, etc. Hey, I quite understand what's going on.
He's entitled to do it, you know, and someone turned around and said, well, he hasn't been caught, you know. That's twice he's done it and he hasn't been caught. Well, and the problem is that he's entitled to sit there and park in there. You look at an example, like in Anglesey Street where there's got a clearway in there. You can sit there at 4 o'clock to 4:30. Sit there. And the council, if you sit there and the council walk past, they don't even tap on the window and say, hey, you move on.
Yep, I quite understand. Is that clearway outside the courthouse?
No, it's further down from where the transport station is.
Outside the AMI
building.
Yep. I do feel for the bus drivers late in the afternoon that they have got to go around. People parking outside the courthouse and guys and girls having their windows.
I definitely know with that one is that it's going to be with that one and that one, that's the real dangerous one at the moment because the council, they got two council guys there at 4 o'clock to just stand outside there because that's a clear way for the buses to go past.
Yep. Yep, I quite understand. It's just these people, and as you said earlier, I talked about the rule on the road. You can ride your scooter on the road, and you can ride your bicycle, but there are limits to. Next time, I'm going to report this to the council about these people who get on these scooters. Two of them with their arms wrapped around each other, and they go speeding. There needs to be limits on these scooters.
Well, council won't do anything about it.
No, I know.
It's just like talking to a brick wall, and the brick wall don't answer back.
And of course, pulling out teeth too.
So with this toy guy, I agree what he did.
Yep.
And like the status that, you know, he's sitting there for a few minutes, you know, there was no one there sitting there waiting to park behind his truck net. He's got to realise that, you know, how many disability blooming parkings have we got around the country that people can sit there, you know, if you've got one, you can park in there, you know, he's got one.
Anyway, hey, thank you, Dwayne. I just see that the guys from Derek's arrived and he was just dancing outside the window before. So,
oh, Christ, was he doing Barbie? Was he a Barbie dancer?
Anyway, Derek is coming up in about 10 minutes with Harmony Waikato. He was celebrating his birthday today. The late, great Dean Martin.
I'm praying for rain in California so the grapes can grow and they can make more wine. And I'm sitting in a honky in Chicago with a broken heart and a woman on my mind. I matched the man behind the bar for the jukebox. And the music takes me back to Tennessee. When they ask who's a fool in the corner crying, I say, a little old wine drink of me. Came here 'cause my baby left for Florida on a train. I thought I'd get a job and just forget her. But in Chicago, a broken heart is still the same. I matched the man behind the bar for the jukebox, and the music takes me back to Tennessee. When they ask who's a fool in the corner crying, I say, a little old wine drink of me. I say, a little old wine drink of me.
Yes, the late, great Dean Martin. It's his birthday today. Born this day in 1917. He died Christmas Day, 1995. It's time to introduce... Good afternoon, Trevor Lloyd. Trevor's talk.
Oh, good afternoon, everyone. Bus stops.
Yes.
I'm referring to the one in Pembroke Street outside the YMCA, in that location.
Mm-hmm.
It's not part... They've got a concrete slab away from the footpath, and the bus parts beside the concrete slab, which is the get-off point, obstructing traffic while it stops. The fire service, emergency services, have raised this issue with the council because there's a hazard as far as getting to a fire and things like that. I can't understand really why they did that, because, take for example Tristan Street where I live, there's cycle lanes between Ward Street and Thackeray Street, and the rest of Tristan Street was quite long, goes from Thackeray Street to the roundabout, going out to Hillcrest, and on the other end it goes all the way to Mill Street. That's about three quarters, if not more, of the street. It's got no cycle lanes in those areas, but there are cycle lanes between Mill Street and Thackeray Street. Well, and I think the real danger is on, say, the Claudelands Bridge, where there's no cycle lanes at all and the roads are so narrow, the cyclists would be in mortal danger.
Yep.
It doesn't make sense. There's no logic in it, and the fire service are raising an issue with the council, which shows you how serious it is.
But, yeah, talking about the Claudelands Bridge, there's about 20 road humps between my place and the bus stop, and coming over the Claudelands Bridge, there's about 20 or so speed bumps.
Exactly. And that's ratepayers' money paid for that.
Yep.
Now, $1 billion in debt, why can't that money go to reducing the debt and in time reduce the rates? I mean, it's common sense.
Yep, well...
Spend it where it's needed, not for...
Well, got a question, Mel.
No reason.
Yes, here's a hobby for someone who is proficient with languages. It's the organisation Decipher. It's the Interpreting and Translating Service of Hamilton Multicultural Services Trust, a charitable trust established in 1999. They're looking for motivated and energetic interpreters to join their nationwide team. It's a job. Flexible hours, full training provided. And they also provide in so many languages. Mm. And they're still looking for people who can produce the evidence that they've achieved some milestones.
Are you interested, Mel? No,
I wouldn't qualify.
Even
if it were an English speaker, the kind of standard of English that they expect for interpreting would outrule a lot of people we know.
Are New Zealanders good at speaking English, guys?
I speak English. So I can resist that.
Hey, thank you guys for the afternoon. We've been playing some hits of Tom Jones and, of course, Dean Martin. Tom Jones' birthday today.
And applications for those positions are close now, 15th of June. they close the applications for the positions that are open.
Anyway, that is time for to go. One of Tom Jones's contemporaries was due to tour New Zealand in his 90s. I'm talking about this guy, Engelbert Humperdinck. Will take you out with Lady Bicyclette de Belsize. It's a, actually, Belsize is in England. It's not in France.
Turning and turning, the world goes on. We can't change it, my friend. Let us go riding now through the days together to the end, till the end. Les bicyclettes de Belsize carry us side by side, and hand in hand we will ride over Belsize. Turn your magical
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.